This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I'm coming to you today in a message that I recorded back in, I wrote it, tracked in June of 1999, and it's entitled, The Mote and the Beam. And the thing about this message here is that it explains a subject that most Christians, as far as I have heard from the past, they don't really understand exactly the meaning of this particular passage of scripture. I don't know whether you have heard my message on It's Not Them, It's Us, that has recently been printed up. It's in a three-part series. Part one is basically for covering March. Part two, it was for April, and part three is for May of this year, 2022. And I use the subject scripture in those parts that is not the same scripture as this particular scripture is, which is in Luke chapter number 6, verses 41 to 42. What I mean by that is, it's a different passage of scripture, but they're both essentially saying the same thing. So let's go into the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, verses 41 and 42. And we will find these words written here in the King James Version of the Bible. And it says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how can you say to your brother," I'm kind of putting this in more or less straight English, so if I'm straightening the words out, it's just I'm speaking with the regular English rather than the King James English, but it's basically the same thing. I'm not destroying or altering the scripture. In other words, it said, how can I say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when you yourself beholdest not the beam that is in your own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." As I said, the title of this scripture, this message is The Mote and the Beam. Now, as I said for a little while ago, for quite some time, I have been hearing people, mainly Christians, quoting this scripture when they are faced with someone telling them that they are doing something wrong. Now, in order to get the guilt off of themselves, they seem to think that if the person telling them about themselves is guilty of something, then they need to get themselves straight first before they go out trying to get others straight. And this is a good argument, except for one thing. That one thing is what I want to focus on in this message. This whole idea of trying to make the messenger out to be more guilty of wrongdoing than you is something that Jesus was fully aware of. He knew that some of you would be trying to find a slick way of thinking so as to be able to make no one able to tell you anything. Your reasoning being, they have to be perfect before they can tell me anything. Some of you even make this mistaken assumption that some sins are worse than others. You figure if you lie all the time or gamble, then someone that, let's say, commits adultery should not be trying to get you to straighten up. Now, I want to say something here. There is a different sin. There are sins that are worse than other sins to this standpoint, and that standpoint being that if you go into the Old Testament and read the books of the law, you will find out that certain sins required a person to have to make certain sacrifices. Other sins required them to have to be isolated from the camp for a while. Other sins required for them to be put to death. So in that aspect, some of the sins do have categories, just like crimes have categories, and the punishment for those crimes vary because of the seriousness of them. But that's not the issue necessarily that I want to address here. But we will go on, and as we go along, we'll see what I'm talking about here. Now, as I said, Jesus knew there would be this type of reasoning, so he put it like this for a reason, and I will try to explain it as he has shown it to me. First, the Bible says that all have sinned, meaning we all have sin in our lives, and there is not one person of us that can stand up and say that we are perfect and have never sinned in our lives. But as I said before, that's not the issue that I want to address here. He said, many times you will say, I remember when you did this and that. Well, what is in the past, or should I say covered by the blood of Jesus, is to be left there. To bring up someone's past in this instance now will bring you into condemnation, because to God, who has no memory of it, you are lying on them. Now remember, now the Bible says that God, when we confess our sins to him, the sins are going to be buried them under the blood of Jesus Christ, and that he, God, will remember them no more. Now if God is going to not remember them anymore, that means if you try to bring up something that this person has repented of and God has buried it in the past, as far as God is concerned, you're lying on that person. But anyway, let's go on a little further. Then we have those who are looking for you to do one thing wrong so they can say, you can't tell me anything until you get yourself straight. They figure if they can put a guilt trip on you, then you will not say anything at all. Therefore, they can still feel good doing their thing. But the group that Jesus is addressing here is a group of that feels there is a difference in sins. You know, one sin is worse than another. They feel that Jesus is addressing that when he is talking about and a beam. Now, as I said, I told you earlier, even though there are some sins worse than others, that is not exactly the part of the message that Jesus is bringing forth here. Now, let's go on a little further. Now, the Bible tells me that those that lie or commit any sin are just as guilty as if they have broken all of the law. So a person that lies all the time is just as guilty and will serve the same punishment as the murderer. You can go to Revelations chapter 21 and verse number 8 says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So as you can see, God is naming everything: murderers, fearful, liars and everything else, sorcerers who doing witchcraft, psychics and stuff like that. All of that falls into the same category. All are going to have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. However, there is only one hell, and therefore punishment is the same. So no sin is greater than another. In fact, Jesus said, "He who hates his brother is a murderer." You can find that in 1 John 3 and 15. Not St. John, but 1 John, back near the book of Revelation. So Jesus is basically lumping all of the sins into one category, because it's going to be one hell and everything, all sinners are going to end up in it, regardless of you know, the degree or how serious the sin is. But as I say, in this particular point, I want to stress that what we're talking about here does not fit exactly, you know, it's not that particular area that we're talking about, but we'll go on a little further. So what does Jesus mean when he uses the term a mote and a beam? It is my belief that he is talking about a person trying to straighten out another person when they are guilty of the same thing the other person is guilty of, but to a far greater extent. You see, since Jesus usually addressed the people in terms that they understood or could relate to, he was referring to a material that all of them used, and that is wood. And after all, we do know that Jesus was a carpenter's son, and carpenters used wood. But anyway, let's look at the terminologies here. A mote would be something, a small piece of wood, something like a splinter, while a beam is a larger piece of wood, like a 2x4. Therefore, he was saying, how can you get a little piece of wood out of your brother's eye when you got a large 2x4 piece of wood in your own eye? Well, translating that in today's situation, it is like him saying, how can you help your brother stop smoking a pack of cigarettes a day when you're smoking 3 packs a day? You need to stop smoking the 3 packs that you are smoking first, then you can show them how to quit. To do otherwise makes you out to be a hypocrite. The whole thing is based on the same sin, not different sins. If, as many are thinking, Jesus was talking about the way that they are trying to be making it seem that it is, or thinking, then no preacher in the world should be preaching. We would all be too busy watching out for ourselves and the wrongdoing to tell anybody anything. But thank God that is not the case. A person is, say for instance, a liar, could very well tell a person that is a drunkard that they need to get off of alcohol before it kills them, and be doing the right thing. A while back, I remember seeing a commercial about a man who is sternly scolding his son while his wife was watching. You know, she was standing by. The man had found a joint in his son's room. This commercial, I don't know, I think it was about 15, 20 years or so ago. I can't remember. I do remember the commercial. Anyway, for those of you that don't know what a joint is, it's a marijuana cigarette. Anyway, the son just sat there for a little while, not answering him. But after repeatedly asking him, "Where did you get the idea of doing this?" the son blurted out, "From you." "All right, I got it from you," talking to the father. You know why? Because the father was smoking cigarettes, see. The son was smoking marijuana. And so when the father trying to scold the son for smoking the marijuana cigarette, the son turned around and said that he got the idea because his father had been smoking cigarettes, which is also a drug. It's not quite as bad as marijuana, but you know, both of them, as far as I'm concerned, destroy your body, your lungs, and things like that, just like cigars do. But anyway, the man, the father, after hearing that, could say nothing behind that except to drop his head and turn away. That is a good instance of what I'm talking about here and what the scripture is talking about when he says, being shown to be what a hypocrite is. If you're smoking, irrespective of whether you're young or old, if you're smoking and somebody else is smoking, even though they might be smoking some weed or something like that, they're both doing damage to your lungs. Now, marijuana can be doing damage to your brain and your mental way of thinking, but the thing is, they're two of the same thing. And consequently, the father, because of his smoking, had set the example for his son to say, "Well, if he can smoke cigarettes, I can smoke marijuana." And the father, like I said, had to realize at the time that he was a hypocrite. Someone scolding another for doing what they themselves are doing. So the father just couldn't say anything, turned around and walked away. Anyway, Jesus was doing the work of the Father, and the religious leaders were finding fault in everything he did. When he healed someone on the Sabbath, they jumped all over him talking about how he was breaking the law. Other times they would say he was doing the work of the devil. Many times he would be teaching something to the people and these leaders would try to trip him up or entrap him and make him look bad. All of these things were false accusations, of course, but the thing is, they were trying to scold Jesus in all these areas, and in reality, they were the ones that were the guilty parties. They didn't mind doing whatever they wanted to do, even playing holy and self-righteous while at the same time trying to condemn others for making mistakes while trying to live the life that God said for them to live. In other words, here you are, a saint, out here trying to live according to what the way that God says you're supposed to live, and there's always somebody around you trying to look for any little mistake that you make to try to put you down and make you feel bad. Jesus, however, in scolding them, used the statement that they, the religious leaders, would strain at a gnat but swallow a camel. Matthew chapter 23, verse 24. He was implying that they would frown on people for making little mistakes, yet they easily overlook and even participate in more serious violations of the law. Now, sometime back, when I first got saved, I used to witness those that I witnessed to, those which I was familiar with, which was go-go dancers. Before I got saved, I used to make the outfits that they wore. Well, after I got saved, because see, I was gung-ho to get out here and start trying to witness for Christ and things like that, and as far as I was concerned, I was going to go out and save the world and do this and do that and other, and I was going to start with the people that I knew close to me, that I knew, you know, I had good rapport with and listening to. So I went and started talking to these dancers and things that I had been making these outfits for. And I was telling them about how they were sinning because what they were doing, and how they were enticing men to want to commit sexual sin. So in other words, I'm making outfits for the dancers, and then I'm telling the dancers how that the job that they're doing is actually enticing men to commit sexual sin. Some of them might be married or whatever, and I was trying to, you know, get them saved, get them to stop dancing and so forth. Well, anyway, I didn't have any qualms with still making these outfits for them while I was telling them they need to quit dancing. Well, anyway, one young lady who was still getting outfits from me said to me, she said, "Aren't you helping us to entice these men by making these outfits for us?" And I thought about it, and you know what? No truer words were ever uttered. Here I was, as big a hypocrite as anybody, and hadn't even realized it. And it took a sinner to get me to see it. See, a lot of us saints, we got the idea that because we're saved and somebody's not saved, that the person is not saved can't tell us something and it be true about something that we're doing or how we're acting or treating somebody. You're not too big to have somebody to stand up and tell you something. It's just the fact that once they tell you, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to research it? If you know the Word of God, well then see, you can, you will know whether what this person is telling you is coming from God or not. Because if God can use a jackass to straighten somebody out or tell somebody something that they're doing wrong, then surely he could use a sinner to do it. Anyway, let me get back to it. When I realized that I was like these religious leaders, just as guilty as the ones I was trying to get saved, you know what I did? I quit making the outfits so I could then tell these dancers about their wrongdoing and not be guilty of aiding them in it. That is what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about the mote and the beam. The way we live our lives today is a testament to others who may be looking for a way out of a dilemma, but they can tell a phony when they see one. And some of you, my friends, are as phony as a $3 bill. Some of you out there are guilty of simple things like sending your kids to church because you say they need to go while you lay up there in the bed. What you are doing is saying, when you get grown, then you can send your kids off to church and stay at home. It's not that important. Hypocrite. Your kids need to see that Jesus is for the grown-ups as well as them. You never outgrow Jesus. Now, I know this message is hitting some of you hard, hitting you where it hurts, but as I've told people before, that is my job. One thing you need to realize is that I had the same situations in my life with the dancers, and I changed. It takes a real mature person to hear something like this and accept it and change. Anyone can start lashing out and throwing blame around, but the bottom line is, it's only going to hinder you in your Christian experience. In order for you or I to walk in the light and the power of God's Word, we have to be able to first clean up our own lives. Then we can help others that are going through the same thing. It does no good for us to try to help someone in a sinking boat to keep them from going down if we are in that same boat. To try to do that will only mean that both of us will go under. What needs to happen is that we get to a place of safety and security or on solid ground, then we can reach out and help others. So I hope I cleared up that message about the mote and the beam. Two pieces of wood, a small piece of wood and a large piece of wood, symbolizing a person committing the same sin, but they aren't committing it as not doing it as much as somebody, like I said, using the cigarettes for an example. If you smoking 3 or 4 cigarettes a day and you got somebody that's smoking 3 and 4 packs a day trying to tell you that you need to quit smoking because it's bad for your health and things like that, that's a hypocrite. the person should stop smoking his 3 or 4 packs, and then they can stand up and tell the person that's smoking 1 or 2 cigarettes, you know, I wouldn't do that, son. That stuff is bad for your health. I ought to know. I used to smoke 3 and 4 packs. Well, you saw me, but I got this. Something like that going on and carrying on. The same sin, just that one is committing it worse than the other, and yet and still they want to try to straighten out the person who's not doing the same thing as bad as they are, instead of them straightening their lives out first. So I hope you got something out of that for the this message. Like I said, that's something I did back in 1999, and I just made an audio of it so that a person can go back and hear it. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing out this message. May God bless you and your families real good.